summer comes to a close, the Middle East emerges from its fifth consecutive year of drought. Last year, the Israeli National Water Authority threatened major water shortages would lead to a humanitarian crisis if Israel does not ramp up water production. The General Secretary and President of the Water Authority called on the increase in desalination plant output and an increase in water pumping from the country's main aquifers. Israel has several major supplies of water. Fresh water is pumped from Lake Tiberias. Mediterranean water is desalinated and effluent is treated with Israel's famous innovative technologies. And lastly, water is pumped from underground reserves. The biggest is the mountain aquifer, located almost entirely in the West Bank. Even though the land is under Israeli military occupation and the international community does not recognize it as belonging to the State of Israel, Israel still continues to pump. For this purpose, the Israeli military administration in charge of the occupied Palestinian territories sold all the water in the West Bank and Gaza to the Israeli National Water Corporation in 1982. The company, Mekorot, paid the symbolic price of 1 shekel, or 40 U.S. cents, for what is the majority of the underground reserves in the region. Today, Palestinians have access to roughly 90 liters of water per day per capita, while Israelis have access to 284. The World Health Organization stipulates the minimum water requirement per day is 137 liters. Palestinians say this disbalance results from the Israeli Water Corporation often cutting off their water supply and Israel denying them permits to dig wells. They say that Mekorot maintains a strict quota on their water usage while pumping unlimited amounts both for Israelis and for Jewish settlers in the West Bank. The Real News spoke to Life Source Project, a nonprofit organization working in the occupied Palestinian territories solely on the water issue.
For the settlers is a free access to use as much as they want of this water, which is originally Palestinian resources, Palestinian water. The settlers' dogs have like water availability more than the humans, the Palestinian people in this country. It shouldn't be used for political games. It shouldn't be war tool. It shouldn't be something that we bargain about. It has to be free, available for everybody.
As part of the so-called peace process, the 1995 Oslo II Interim Agreement attempted to resolve the problem of water equality by establishing the Joint Water Committee with an equal number of Israeli and Palestinian members. Susan Kopelman, the co-founder of the Life Source Project, told the Real News the peace process hasn't solved the problem.
Oslo was a way of solidifying what had been almost 30 years of Israeli military policies. So in 1967, at the very beginning of the occupation, Israel implemented or signed a number of military orders that took full control over Palestinian water resources and said that Palestinians needed to get, you know, permission from Israel in order to drill wells for any sort of water development. Israeli imposed quotas on existing Palestinian water resources. And Oslo basically reified the system.
In April, the World Bank issued a report commissioned by the Palestinian Authority. The World Bank investigated whether the steps outlined in the Oslo II agreement addressed the water inequality issues. It found that Israelis have access to 4 times as much water as Palestinians. The report identified the imbalance of power between the two parties and writes that, noting the complete dependence of the West Bank and Gaza on scarce water resources shared and largely controlled by Israel, the report finds that the joint governance rules and water allocations established under the 1995 Oslo Interim Agreement, still in effect today, fall short of the needs of the Palestinian people. Israel did not like the results and claimed the World Bank's findings were biased. It issued the following response. Israel has fulfilled all its obligations regarding the supply of water to the Palestinians and has even extensively surpassed the obligatory quantity. Significantly, the authors chose to ignore the Israeli position and declined to take the facts presented to them into consideration in the published report. The World Bank then refuted the allegations by issuing its own response. In fact, in the late stages of report finalization, the bank team received an Israeli paper in authorless draft form, accompanied by a disclaimer that it had not been proofed by the Israeli Water Authority. The draft did not, however, analyze any factors or causes of underdevelopment and underperformance of the Palestinian water sector. Beside abstraction, the report also found that the physical infrastructure of the Israeli occupation hampers the Palestinians' access to water.
This is how the wall affecting the access to water, because it is cutting the people from reaching these wells and using them. And also within the construction process of the wall, thousands of meters of pipes, networks destroyed, and no ability for the Palestinians to rehabilitate. And even if they want to rehabilitate a network in the village that is originally connected to an artesian well in the other side of the wall, means it won't be, like, they will not allow to connect this well to this network.
The report also found that water quality was significantly lower for Palestinians than for Israelis. All rural villages the World Bank's team interviewed reported having to boil their water. The local authorities responded by issuing free chlorine tablets, on which families now rely.
We have a statistic says that the water in this region can be enough for both nations for the coming 30 years. So we're not really having a crisis of water in, as a natural water resource in the basins. We have good natural basins, enough with water for everybody if we leave the politics aside and manage it as natural as it is.